Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Good morning, Lee.
Tara.
Okay, so unbelievable stat from Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent yesterday confirmed everything I've been telling you, warning you about the stock market. What happened? That institutional investors, big hedge funds, the big corporate funds are at war with Donald Trump and the mainstream, the main street, I should say, of America and mainstream. On China's side, on the side of the big offshored multinationals whose chief competition is the onshored U.S. nationals, with politicians taking sides. Unbelievable stat. And this stat, I could do a whole show on this because it shows so many things. It's a Vanguard stat on who sold off their stock, pounding the market down, and who, most importantly, did not.
The Vanguard, one of the largest money management firms in America, said that over the past 100 days, 97% of Americans haven't done a trade, and in fact, individual investors have held tight, while institutional investors have panicked. So individual investors trust investors trust President Trump.
Megan. That is one heck of a poll. 97% held tight. So what does that mean? That it explains a lot about the market, and that's what I was thinking, Lee, when I was watching it. I kept saying this. This is another hoax. This is them using their combined market power to dump stocks to stop Trump. And what they had hoped to do was to panic mom and pop 401k, people who like us. I mean, I've got, you know, my son's got money from his small business in the stock market. My daughter's got her babysitting money in there. Dump it, sell it, panic, be scared. Trump's destroying everything. And they were trying to pound down both the bond market and the stock market in order to stop Trump, cause a panic. And what's fascinating here is that people didn't buy it. They didn't panic. They shrugged their shoulders. I mean, that's what that stat tells you. 97% of individual investors did not sell. And you know what it shows you? If you watch, they kept bouncing back down. Like they hit like a tennis ball about 36,000, but they couldn't push it further down because they used all their institutional might. And without causing a panic in the herd, which is what they were trying to do, get the herd to run off the cliff, they were unable to tank the stock market. The fact that they tried this is terrifying. When you look at the fact that the individual investors were not moved, did not budge. Went, nah, it'll be okay. Trump's got this. I trust him on the economy. I don't believe them. I don't believe CNBC. I don't believe Fox Business. I don't believe the panic. I don't believe the stupidity. I don't believe CNN Business. I'm just going to go about my life. The fact that they tried this, Lee, this is terrifying when you look at it. The concentration of corporate, hedge fund, big money Wall Street firms that would have had to dump their stock when they knew darn well mom and pop weren't to achieve what they did was huge. They all worked in tandem. And one more thought on this, the risk they took. Yeah, if the market's going to crash, they can call off trading. They have algorithms for it. But the risk they took that what they unleashed here as a protest might have gotten to the point where they couldn't control it anymore. Run away. So what does this say? No matter what the polls say, and Americans may not be a huge fan of this, you know, of the tariffs generally, maybe wish we weren't going this general direction. That's what you get when you get 33% approval rating on tariffs. On a Fox News poll, probably about 43% then, because those polls are notoriously bad for being skewed to the left. What does it say, Lee? It says Americans trust Trump for now.
For now.
Again, let me play the clip after all that, because it's this is an astonishing number. I stopped what I was doing yesterday when I heard Bessent say this at the press conference with Caroline Levitt.
The Vanguard, one of the largest money management firms in America, said that over the past 100 days, 97% of Americans haven't done a trade. And in fact, individual investors have held tight while institutional investors have panicked. So individual investors trust investors trust President Trump.
Megan.
For now.
Yeah.
And that's what kept the market from crashing. It's what's keeping the market from crashing is this massive divide. And to me, this says Main Street gets that Trump is out looking out for them.
And I think the Main Street, for the most part, is much more interested in long-term gains than short-term gains.
Yes, there's that too, which is a perfect analysis, Lee, if you think about it, because if people are saying, well, you know, okay, right now things are a little weird. I'm just going to hold.
Yeah.
I'm not going to panic. I trust Trump long-term. This is going to turn out okay for me. So huge vote of confidence. It's one thing to tell a pollster something. It's another thing entirely to bet with your money.
Yeah.
You know?
That's another thing.
Yeah. And you know what? I think part of this is, I think people still remember the last Trump economy. And I think they remember that it was good. And they remember the screaming and yelling about it. And how it was going to be awful and terrible and Trump was stupid. And the end of the world. And then it ended up quite well, quite good up until COVID. Mm-hmm. Which people don't really blame him for. So people remember that. They trust him. They're giving him the benefit of the doubt. How long do you think that lasts?
Boy, that's the question. And not to throw cold water on this, and I'm not trying to do this because I still think that Trump's got a really good team. In fact, I think that Trump's got a much better team, I believe, this term than he had last term.
Yes.
I think this term he has got people. I know there's been people who are accusing him of trying to find people who are just loyal to Trump. No, it's not just about loyalty. It's about being on the same page, everyone working together on a specific way of doing things so that you're not working against each other. But I don't know. We're in a much different situation world globally, economically right now. Well, this country, because of the debt that, you know, COVID did to us, that Biden did to us, that Trump's going to have to address. And then from a world power situation, things are much different because now you have, because of the Biden administration, Iran with nuclear weapons, just honestly days or hours away from putting one on a missile if they wanted to. You have North Korea, which now has stockpiles of nuclear weapons. You have an emboldened China that is spreading its influence across the Pacific Rim. and doing things to challenge things and also stirring things up between Pakistan and India, as you've pointed out, getting involved in Africa. There's so many other things that were allowed to happen foreign and economically and domestically that the Biden administration is responsible for that Trump's got to deal with in order to get us back to where we were in the first term.
I know. And it's such a hill to climb.
Yes.
And
you have got Democrats who are sitting here inciting violence against the federal government and against the Trump administration. And you have willing accomplices in the media, which are still refusing to talk about the lies that they committed during the Trump administration and during the Biden administration, deceiving the American public about the facts of what were going on, whether it was the economy, COVID, foreign policy, Ukraine, Israel, whatever, that has, tainted the water, so to speak, of the electorate.
What we do have that's different this time, though, again, as long as it lasts, is we have X and we have an ability to get the truth out that we haven't had in my lifetime.
And we also have a focused administration that, for the most part, is doing a really good job of keeping on message and keeping everybody going in the same direction. Yes, I know that there's some sideline issues and some stuff that got out and that may not have gotten out in the way that it did. But there seems to be much more of a focus and a direction and a cohesiveness of this administration now that we didn't really see in the last term.
Absolutely. And you're seeing the power flex that I've never seen Republicans have in my lifetime. I wouldn't say Republicans, but Trump.
Yeah.
I mean,
we start talking Republicans. Now we're talking about House and Senate, and that's not happening.
Yeah. No, I mean, just two headlines. We'll get in all this today. Wall Street Journal, all of these major firms dropping DEI, dropping out of Pride Parades. No more of that because they don't want to anger Trump. And then on top of all of that, we have what's going on with China, major flex there too. All of that coming up on the show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Baseball's all about the games. And the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
There was a time in this country we had patriots just standing up to the man, in this case, the British. Cost them everything. Many started with money and died broke. Elon Musk, well on his way to doing that. He's still got a lot of dollars. But compared to what he had when the Trump administration started, have you seen this? Headline, Bloomberg, Elon Musk lost 25% of his fortune during his quest to gut the U.S. government. 25% of his fortune gone for now since Trump took office. That's what this has cost him. As AOC and Bernie fly around on their oligarchs tour, warning about the incredible danger that we're in from Elon Musk. Warning, he's just, he's out there to steal you blind. He's going to take your grandma's Social Security or something. Sure didn't look like he's stealing much. Hadn't worked out so well for him. Tesla, Musk's only publicly traded company, big source of his wealth, bore the brunt of the, Bloomberg calls it public anger. I would call it domestic terrorism. That's what it is. Against him and his policies. He's got two things going on. Number one, a lot of his customers were left-wingers. But there is probably an element there of, gee, do I really need to worry about my car being keyed, torched, set on fire, firebombed? Every time I park it, maybe I'll just get a different kind of EV. Stock dropped 33% since inauguration. EV makers' sales plummeted. And the numbers are staggering, folks. 71% drop year over year. First quarter last year made almost $1.4 billion. They made just $401 million first quarter. In terms of Musk's personal wealth, Bloomberg reports, so it might be true, you never know. The alliance with Trump so far, listen to this, has cost him $113 billion. Doge overall has saved, just as far as they say right now, $150 billion. So he's awfully close to just, you know, direct paying his fortune to the American people. But take a listen to what he found or announced that Doge had found yesterday. This is going to change everything, folks. This is why things are burning. This is why Tesla dealerships are being firebombed. He is gutting the Democrats' theft from you. Listen to this. Last week, the Treasury, our Treasury Department, makes all the payments, went live with its first automated payment verification system. We didn't have one. Duh. In total, $334 million in improper requests were identified and rejected due to missing budget codes, invalid budget codes, i.e. the payment was not linked to the federal budget, and budget codes with no authorization, i.e., listen to this. The budget had already been spent. Understand this. They were putting in, you know, expenditures when the money had already been spent. If the money's already been spent, what are you paying with? Remember the magical printing machine that Elon Musk talked about? Now, just to show you the size of this insanity, before this payment verification system, what this does is the payment cannot go out from the Treasury unless there is a proper budget code. So we know what the heck it is. Now, listen to this. In the federal government TAS system, the TAS field where you say, hey, this is going to John Smith for more satellites that Congress funded. So we know who it's going to and we know what it's for. It's from the $40 billion Congress allocated. Okay, that's legal. We could see it went to John Smith and here is John Smith. We check him out. Yes, he's got an aerospace company. He's not just a Democrat siphoning it off into an Aruba bank. In the federal government, the task field, listen to this, was optional for $4.7 trillion in payments and was most of the time left blank, making traceability almost impossible. $4.7 trillion. As of Saturday, that ended. $4.7 trillion out of what? Annual. Folks, I'm telling you, there's hundreds of billions of dollars in there that it is going to Democrat, to friends of Democrats, FODs. It's gone. Texter writes, trillion, $4.7 trillion, untraceable. This is a scandal. You bet it is. This is why the Tesla dealerships are burning. They see this as a personal attack on their graft. And folks, when I say stealing, and that's what this was hiding the theft. That's the point of this. That's why those fields were left blank. Folks, remember, we had to physically remove the guy whose responsibility it was to put these codes on. Because remember, remember the first fight Doge had? They went in there. He wouldn't give them access to the computer, even though they were federal employees working directly for the federal government for Donald Trump. Wouldn't give them access to the computer, physically refused to. They had to break in. Why? He did this. This was on purpose. The fraud, the theft, and the graft is in there. And folks, some of this may not have been theft, traditional, like felony theft, like you would do at your business. Oh, look, I just transferred $200,000, you know, to my bank account from the company account. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about people inside Treasury doing that. I'm talking about people inside Treasury helping Democrat groups hide the transfer so we don't know who they are. Texture rates. So let me get this straight. Our government was handing out trillions with fewer checks than a Chuck E. Cheese arcade. And we're just now fixing that question mark. How is this not the biggest story of the, biggest story in the country? To do that, to put that system in place, and you know what you're going to, one day I'm going to sit in this chair, Democrats are going to be back in power. They're going to get rid of this. I'm going to try. Unless we so cement this that they just can't get back in power again. Please, God, let that be the case. Folks, to understand what that cost Elon Musk at the moment, 25% of his fortune to protect you from these wolves, from these animals, from these monsters. It's the best damn thing I've ever seen. You know why? They aren't going to have money. You know how they outspend us by billions in their campaigns? I guarantee it's all funneled back in. Listen to this. Just on Saturday, the first day of this, that this went live, right, where you actually have to put a code in, prevented $334 million in improper payments in one day. That is the scale. Now, some of that, I'm sure there's just, you know, laziness. People never had to put a code in before. They don't have one. I'm sure there's some of that. Like, it's legit spending. But I guarantee you, I'd bet my 401k double or nothing, there's fraud, graft, theft, or corruption in there. And they were hiding it, and they can't hide anymore. And this raises big questions about what was going on before they stopped all this and found the issues. Imagine all the money flying out the door without the proper codes. There is a reason that Treasury guy physically obstructed Doge. There was a reason. Remember what the Congress members did, what the Democrat Congress members did? They came out on the street. They stood in front of the Treasury. They screamed. They had signs. They know this. This is going on. They went right to the heart of the evil in that party. And they put a stop payment on it. And it's fabulous. Laughing out loud at Lee's newscast. The House decides, State House. Well, you know what? We might leave Treasurer Curtis Loftus alone. You know, we might do that. Why is that? I've been going back and forth with the treasurer. I've been trying to get him on the show, but he does talk to me over text. And he discovered something. As the state Senate is so unpopular, I think it's because people inherently understand that they not only are not supported by most members of the state Senate, but that they're Democrats, essentially, who masquerade as Republicans, get away with it because there isn't decent talk radio in about half this state. Anyway, Loftus wrote to me that the Senate impeaching him was making him more popular. He wrote, "I think my poll numbers are shooting up, ! No one ever heard of Larry Groom, Stephen Goldfinch, and people hate the Senate." Well, we do a poll every day on our site. You should take it. It's actually pretty cool. I kind of addicted to it. I end up clicking it on every day just to see what you guys are doing. Last week, we asked in our poll on the 989WORD.com. You can go find it. Check out our news, but also the polls there every day. Do you think Curtis Loftus should be removed as South Carolina treasurer? So we did a version of this poll. Yes, 43%. No, 57%. So people saw right through this. Our state legislature is profoundly corrupt, one of the most corrupt in the nation. It's also one of the most liberal in the nation. When it is ranked year after year after year, only more liberal legislatures are to the left. In other words, we are the least conservative legislature among Republican legislatures in the entire country. And this was completely political. He wouldn't play their game. What really pissed them off, I don't think it had anything to do with that $1.8 billion. Because Loftus didn't lose that. Loftus is not in charge of doing the day-to-day accounting. And this is what struck in my craw. Well, who is? Well, we had the comptroller removed. We had two officials who actually are in charge. But ultimately, who's in charge? The governor. I mean, again, if you're going to take out Curtis Loftus for not noticing this, again, he's the treasurer, not the accountant. You're going to take out Curtis Loftus, fine. Take him out after you take out the governor. Governor's never even had an answer for this. That's what's so incredible. They're not even interested in it. Would you haul Curtis Loftus in, but you're not going to haul in the governor? Why? Buck stops with him. Not Loftus. Not for this. What Loftus does is invest the state's money. And what Loftus did that really, I think, made them mad is he pulled us out of all of these big, very DEI-oriented liberal funds, the Vanguards, the State Streets, like that. These legislators get donations from associated groups to lobby Loftus to keep those funds, among other things. And then, look, folks, we've just seen them get fat up there. I don't know where the money's coming from, but they spent millions of dollars in this last cycle. The Republican Party did not against Democrats. They love Democrats. They can't stop appointing Democrat judges up there. I don't know why. They spent millions of dollars taking out actual conservatives and actual Republicans. Bill DeVore was one. He would have been wonderful. And they just hit him with a barrage of money. Simply for being conservative, they're at absolute war with the Freedom Caucus. And Loftus is openly conservative, has openly criticized them for not doing what they campaign on. And I just think it's personal. I think it's as simple as that. They've got extra money laying around. This is what they do with it. So I'm glad the House is not going to take up his removal. They shouldn't. It's a waste of my time. It's a waste of your time. It's stupid. And I quite frankly love the way he's managing the money in this state. Post-Courier Courier reports the effort to remove State Treasurer Curtis Loftus from office over his role in a $1.8 billion accounting error that I would add he did not make is now dead in the South Carolina House of Representatives 8 days after Republicans in the state Senate overwhelmingly voted that he had to go. And again, I'll bottom line it for you. Across two polls, he is more popular now than they are. That is why this halted in the House. So I hope he runs again just to keep them from winning. He was going to retire. He was on this show a couple weeks ago floating, well, you know, I might stick around. Good, stick around. They obviously have corrupt things in mind for his office and they want to own and control it, which is why I really hope he serves another term just to block them. Just for spite. Okay. 800-905-0989. Texter writes, what did Loftus find on them? Another texter writes, who's been cashing all the bogus treasury checks and those checks to fraudulent Social Security payments to those 120 plus aged supposed recipients? Another texter writes, when Amazon starts highlighting the tariff costs of an item, people will freak and the tariffs will end. Yeah, but then on the other hand, some folks were making the point, I thought it was a good one. It'd actually be pretty handy-dandy way to tell, okay, if that's got a big tariff on it, where's it coming from? I mean, I got no problem, actually, with Amazon publishing that as long as they put who manufactured the product next to it so we could tell. From China. Oh, cool. All right. Well, I don't want my daily dose of lead. I think I'll get the alternative. But the Trump administration was right about one thing. And it shows the power they have right now. One phone call to Bezos. I know he's not running the company anymore like he was, but he still gets stuff taken care of. One phone call to Bezos, bam, 5 minutes, and it's gone. They're not even talking about it anymore. But I'll tell you what was, I mean, you're absolutely right. What was offensive about it is, well, wait a minute. You know Trump tariffed China last time. You know Biden kept those tariffs on China. Liked him, kept him. Nobody talks about that, especially not the Democrats. Well, why don't we put those tariffs on Amazon? And while we're at it, why are our tariffs bad? Why is Trump's tariffs got to be on Amazon? If we're going to go tariff, we're going to put tariffs, everything, the tariffs cost of everything on Amazon. Okay, fine. Let's put the costs of the tariffs on us on Amazon. The ones that come from the European countries. Let's do that. Let's put it all on. We see the true cost. Because as you know, these things have multiple parts, right? Well, no, we only want to put the Trump tariffs on. We don't want to know about Belgium. Oh, okay. Well, then it's political, and that's why it's offensive. Texture rights, if Amazon publishes it, I'm going to boycott them. They figured that out pretty fast and backed off yesterday. Texture rights, hey, Tira. Yeah, this is put perfectly. The South Carolina Senate just turned Loftus into Trump. They could have been done with him, but now he's going to run again in spite of their actions. That's why I was pushing him last week. Please run. I know you want to retire. You have a beautiful house to retire to. Come on, give us one more term. Just to make them mad. Ralph writes, one of my most loyal listeners, been emailing me every day, I think, pretty much almost every day since, gosh, I started in the biz back in Charlotte. Hey, Tara, I heard on one of the shows I listened to, Mark Simone this morning, Business News reported the big financial clearinghouses like Vanguard, BlackRock, Bank of America were selling off, trying to get regular people to follow and dump their 401ks and IRAs in order to panic the system. That's what I've been saying for weeks. It was a hoax. But the only people who sold off was them. Regular personal investors just held on, wrote it out. That's what my podcast was about yesterday. I was right about that. To a shocking extent, actually. This attempt to crash the market did not work. Only the sellers lost money by cashing out as everything dropped. Now they have to buy back in. They are throwing in the towel as the ruse failed to scare the public into taking big losses. And he attaches this from MarketWatch. Yeah, I saw this. Dow logs longest win streak in 9 months. S&P 500 rises for six straight session, folks. And Ralph writes, they tried, but they couldn't do it. Yeah, they failed. It was a hoax. It was a hoax, like the way they deliberately destroyed the economy over COVID to get Trump out, because the economy was his most formidable weapon. I about fell off my chair when I heard this yesterday from Scott Bessent. This is better than a poll. And it tells you who sold off. And this shows you how fake the market sellout was. Take a listen.
The Vanguard, one of the largest money management firms in America, said that over the past 100 days, 97% of Americans haven't done a trade. And in fact, individual investors have held tight while institutional investors have panicked. So individual investors trust investors trust President Trump.
Megan.
Yes, they do. Look, it's one thing to call a pollster calls you and says, yeah, you know, I like Trump. I like his policies. I trust him on the economy. It's another entirely to vote with your money. So Wall Street's panic over Trump's tariffs was a stage manipulation to spook everyone. Everyday investors try to take the market down. And that proves it right there. 97% held on to their stocks, held on to their 401ks, didn't buy. Folks, you know what else that's a measure of? 4 years of 5 years ago? When we had the combo of censorship and mainstream media hadn't cashed in all its credibility yet with all the lies it told about COVID. They could have done this. They could have tanked this market. They tried to tank this market. I told you the whole time this was fake. This was them getting together in the little shiny shoes meetings that you and I will never be a part of, in their business suits, all the right suits, all the right brands. Hey, we'll dispatch the team to go on CNBC again, scream bloody murder about the end is nigh. The end is coming. We're cooked. try to get mom and pop to dump their stocks. Mom and pop said, oh, heck no, at a 97% rate. That is incredible. You know what it means? They're taking a red pill. They took the red pill. And they're like, not going to do it. Texture writes, was it intentional or just stupid? Probably a combo. Probably 75-25. 75 intentional, 25 stupid. Here's the thing, folks. And I've been saying this from the beginning. I don't know how this is going to end. There's going to be some rough days, I'll tell you that. Especially when there's stuff missing from the shelves. They're going to go wild and try this again. But nobody knows how this is going to end because it's never been tried before. And nobody knows how this is going to end because they're not inside the trade deals. They're not inside the negotiations. Maybe it will go badly. Maybe it won't go badly. Maybe we will take China down, but take our economy down with it. We are really weak right now. But they don't know. And folks, there's two classes here of things. There's the negotiations with the other countries that are ongoing. And there's Trump putting the embargo on China. And look, he aims to destroy them economically. And he must. And by destroy them, I don't mean the people. I mean the Communist Party. Texter writes, yeah, but it was still wasn't their money that they sold off and lost, and won't be their money that they used to buy it back. Finally, Texter writes, billboard sign in Columbia, Loftus for South Carolina Commissioner of Doge. He'd do great at that. Good news, 100 days in.
Just 9 illegal migrants were released into the United States during President Trump's first 100 days in office, compared to 184,000 during the same period last year under then-President Biden, according to Border Czar Tom Homan. The stunning figures came as the White House celebrated a 99.99% decrease in so-called gotaways, illegal entrants who evaded authorities, which the administration called the top threat to public safety. In that same time frame that we released 9, the Biden administration released 184,000 illegal aliens into the country, Homan said on Fox and Friends. Homan praised Trump's immigration policies, saying, President Trump is a game changer. What's happening on the border, he did in 7 weeks, what Joe Biden couldn't or wouldn't do in 4 years. Homan explained that of the 9 released, 4 were material witnesses in criminal cases, 4 were in extreme medical distress, and 1 was released on humanitarian grounds. Under Biden, Border Patrol officials dealt with up to 15,000 crossings per day. Under Trump, Homan said that number dropped to just 178. Illegal border encounters are now down 95%, with the administration calling it proof that Trump has ushered in the most secure border in modern American history. Since returning to office...
Those numbers are staggering, aren't they?
Absolutely.
And, I mean, just 178 a day versus 15,000?
Yeah.
Wow. Trump lets in 9, lets 9 say, versus, you know, since he took office... First, you know, 7 weeks, 184,000? Wow. Sure looks like we could have closed that border.
Yeah.
Wall Street Journal, following up on this Judge Dugan case out of Wisconsin, where she deliberately obstructed the arrest of an illegal immigrant.
Yeah. It's
crazy what she did.
Yeah.
And look, when she hit him, she's shoving him out the door, running him down the street. Wall Street Journal points out this morning, she wasn't just helping him evade ICE, helping him evade capture. She was helping him evade trial for the very violent physical crimes he had committed against the two victims who were just sitting in the courtroom.
Now, I believe the Supreme Court there has removed her or suspended her. She ought to be disbarred or disjudged or impeached or whatever. I mean, this is an absolute miscarriage of justice, period, whether you are sympathetic with the cause of the illegal immigrant or not. This is something that cannot happen or justice will not prevail in this country.
Law professor Jonathan Turley wrote this on his blog, and he's absolutely right about this. He said, this is a line that has been crossed here. He said, what these politicians do not explain, talking about these Democrats who are screaming and yelling, constitutional crisis, blah, blah. What these politicians do not explain is where the line should be drawn. If judges can now actively assist in the escape of fugitives or wanted individuals, could Dugan order court officers to hide Flores Ruiz? That's the illegal immigrant. Could she put him in her trunk and drive him out of the courthouse? Once you leave the bench to assist in alleged illegality, you find yourself on a slippery slope. This has happened before, and according to judges, he's listing a particular judge, it will happen again. Turley observed that Dugan, quote, did not issue court orders or call a hearing to address the problem. Instead, she personally facilitated his escape from federal authorities. Every Democrat who has defended Dugan and who slammed the Trump administration on this issue should be required to answer questions like the one Turley posed. How far is too far in the resistance movement? Judges defying the rule of law? Apparently not. Domestic terrorism at Tesla dealerships? Apparently not. Is there even a line anymore for these people? And the line he explained was this. Look, sanctuary cities, what you're doing is saying we're not going to use any of our resources at all to help ICE, not even so much as a phone call to them to say, hey, this illegal immigrant murderer, we're letting him out at noon on bond, be in the parking lot. Like, you can't even do that. All right. Well, that's not using your resources. But when you physically actively take action to protect an individual, again, one from ICE, but two from trial, that is a next step, he's saying, and he's right.
What do you think would happen to a citizen that tried to facilitate the or delay the arrest by ICE of someone? I mean, you'd be arrested.
Well, depending on what area you're in, yeah, arrested or celebrated, depending on where you are, right? But think about that. Let's flip it on its head. What would happen if you were a citizen who tried to prevent the arrest of a January 6th or 6er?
Yeah.
What would happen then?
Oh, you'd be called a co-conspirator.
Yeah. What would happen if you snuck him out the back door of your house when the FBI was headed down the street to arrest him and you got word, you saw them? What would happen then? I bet you would be cooling your heels in solitary confinement too. Guarantee you would. But those aren't the right people. January 6th protesters, not the right people. They are right-wing people, but they're not the right people. But illegal immigrants are the right people, so it's all good. Meanwhile, Trump has come up with a brilliant new way of charging people. And, you know, one of the things we really need to do, and this is why Congress is so useless, is change. But the first time you get caught crossing that border, it's a felony. Because it's a misdemeanor right now. That would be huge. Just some like simple common sense things that Congress could do, but they're just not doing. Well, the Justice Department's begun, Lee, its first criminal prosecutions of migrants who breached the newly expanded military zone at the southern border. Mm-hmm. So that's a whole different prosecutorial standard. It's now patrolled by U.S. troops, threatening people with additional penalties for crossing the U.S.-Mexico border. 28 migrants charged Monday. They are the first tranche with crossing the 170-mile-long, quote, national defense area. 60-foot strip of land stretches across the bottom of New Mexico and has effectively been turned into part of a U.S. military installation. This is brilliant.
Yeah, exactly.
So prosecutors added the new charge of violating security regulations in U.S. District Court in Las Cruces to the more common misdemeanor of entering the United States illegally. That crime is punishable by up to a year in prison. Good. This is what it's going to take. So the left's going to go wild here, try to stop this. But this is a new way for Trump to begin doing this. It's also great because it keeps it out of local liberal immigration courts where I presume judges will just usher illegals out the back door. Right. I mean, I don't, it's what Democrats do, right?
Yeah.
So anyway.
Just shaking my head. I'm just telling you.
Good. Texter writes, we have a new theme song for this judge, Robert Palmer, Sneak and Sally Through the Alley.
Oh, yeah. Great song. Yeah, that's a good one. Very good.
Yeah. Texter writes, I agree with that, Tara. Bezos should be made to pay for the sins he profits from, too. I know at least 4 8-figure sellers on Amazon. They source products that they design and actually have product patents. I think they mean patents. From China. They knew going in at the 25% tariff that Trump put on China continued. What I said was, if you're going to put the tariffs on, if Amazon was going to, and obviously they aren't going to now, then put them all on.
Yeah, like, I heard you say that. That's a brilliant point, because that's the reason this is happening, because all these countries have been tariffing our imported goods into their country for decades.
Exactly. And so, yeah, put them all on. And you know, the one that Trump put on last time and Biden left, why weren't those put on during the Biden administration? Trump had tariffs on China from the first administration that Biden kept.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
But I guess those were cool. They were fun.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Right.
But if Trump does it or increases them, then it's suddenly wrong.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Coming up on the show, headline, Wall Street Journal, big marketers like MasterCard, PepsiCo, Nissan are rethinking Pride marketing. They're actually fleeing in droves, and that's just a few of it, proving, did they ever really want to do this in the beginning? Or did Obama's human rights campaign force them to? We'll have that coming up on the show. Stay tuned. Days after you first heard it here, so we pride ourselves on, Fox News catches up to the Tara Show. Good for them.
There are signs that China's economy is taking a hit due to this trade war. We have a full screen with numbers from China's National Bureau of Statistics. Mm-hmm. It shows that export orders fell to the lowest readings since the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And now the pressure is on Xi Jinping to make a deal. That's what Scott Bessent is hanging his hopes on here. Will he?
Thank God for Scott Bessent. He's one of the smartest people in the room, and he is so practical, and he's always been really consistent. We import five times what China imports from us. Yeah. They need us more than we need them.
Yep.
We're not importing as much, and you look exactly, you know, 30 days later, what's happening to their factory orders, their export orders, their official PMI manufacturing order that's now below 50, which confirms contractionary, not expansionary numbers. So, China has the benefit of being a dictator that doesn't have an election.
That's where I was going with
this. He doesn't have a midterm.
Yeah.
He can pump up the economy with all of his stimulus because he reports to no one but himself. We don't always have the luxury of that. So they have a long-term game. But again, it comes down for who needs who more. And right now, we're starting to see some cracks in their, cracks in their economy.
In their armored economy.
That's a great point. They are one-party rule, Chinese economy.
Headline. China now says it's willing to cooperate with the U.S. after Boeing's bet. China is willing to support normal cooperation with U.S. companies, the country's Ministry of Commerce said, just days after Chinese airlines rejected taking delivery of any new jets from U.S. plane maker Boeing. That's what happens when you don't back down. They didn't last long. They didn't even make it a whole week. Too bad for them. Folks, last week, Daily Pulse on the strategy being used here.
But the problem for Chinese manufacturers is not just the tariffs, but the uncertainty of timing and sudden changes to policy. They say no one is willing to make a big move on production or shipments until the trade landscape becomes more predictable. This means most Chinese factories are frozen. Trump's tariff actions are widely criticized by the media as erratic or poorly planned, but what they don't understand is that the uncertainty is the real leverage, not the tariffs. What seems like a spur-of-the-moment decision or a sudden capitulation on Trump's part can be highly effective at throwing foreign governments and corporations off balance. Globalism requires a perpetual status quo. Change of any kind is like holy water to a vampire. Chinese shipments are actually on standby and orders are frozen. Nothing is moving.
Oops. That's what Wall Street was fighting right there. A lot of them use the slave labor in China to get the upper hand. Now, here's the fascinating part, okay? Nobody's talking about this, with the exception maybe Zero Hedge, Daily Pulse, best I could find. Transshipment. What's transshipment? Well, in country, it's not just this one. Country after country after country, you know what China has done? They have gone in and dumped goods. That is not capitalism. That is where the government goes in to hawk. We don't know how much. We think that up to 300% of GDP is owed by the government. In other words, they're much worse off than we are, and we're pretty bad off. They subsidize the goods. So they're not winning at capitalism using, you know, slave labor. They have to subsidize the goods beyond it, dump them in the market. That puts, you know, your local factory out of business. Then they come in and buy it. Now they own it. They've done this. Vietnam is a country that's pretty famous for this. So China thought, well, you know, who cares if they tariff us? Because Trump tariffed them last time and Biden left the tariffs on. Nobody said a thing about that. So they thought, eh, we don't care. No big deal. I mean, our factories are turning stuff out all over the place from, you know, Vietnam to Singapore. We'll just, you know, the factories essentially they stole with trade practices that are illegal, but nobody's ever taken, you know, the hammer to them, which is unfortunate. Well, listen to how Trump's tariffs on other countries are gutting China, the transshipment market, where China could have been like, well, we'll just ship the stuff to Vietnam, make it in our factory that we stole there.
Some shipping companies may even face insolvency. Southeast Asia has become a heavily impacted area due to the U.S. reciprocal tariffs. For Chinese companies relying on U.S.-China trade, they did not expect that Trump would impose such strong tariffs on Southeast Asian countries like Cambodia and Vietnam. With the tariffs now in place, the profits of Chinese companies exporting to the U.S. have decreased significantly, as some have nearly become non-existent. The more they export, the more they lose, and even their attempts to use transshipment trade have been blocked.
And perhaps even more interestingly is Chinese nationals reporting how much of an effect this is having on their businesses.
Hey, what I fear the most has happened. I got an email early this morning from a U.S. client who purchases several million dollars worth of goods each year. Due to changes in Trump's tariff policies, they'll indefinitely suspend their orders. I read it and nearly passed out. What do we do now? More than 50% of factories will close this year. The golden era, when machines were running nonstop, is over. My brother, I just got off the phone with a client. He's gone bankrupt and has cleared out his stock. A lot of my clients in my WeChat moments are gone now. My peers are desperately slashing prices and extending payment terms. We have orders with payment terms, but we can't collect the money. Those doing cash sales can't even get orders.
Zero Hedge says China will not be able to survive tariffs on the current scale for long. A single year of 124% tariffs would crush China's economy beyond repair.
Scott Bessent comes out yesterday and says, yeah, they're in danger of losing 10 million jobs. And I heard that and I went, 10 million? That sounds conservative to me. Oh. And then there's this.
Throw into the mix that since 2023, China has been mired in a deflationary crisis triggered by the CCP's severe pandemic lockdowns that negated an export boom, leading to economic stagnation, a collapsed property market from government-subsidized overbuilding of shoddy tofu dreg structures, and widespread corporate defaults that have devastated investors. Despite brief optimism about government recovery efforts, Vanke, a major state-linked developer, reported a historic 49.5 billion yuan loss for 2024, its first since 1991, highlighting the crisis's depth. The deflationary spiral has fueled unpaid wages, factory closures, protests, and suspicious fires, while China's debt exceeding 300% of GDP limits stimulus options. Leaked videos by citizens bypassing the Great Firewall exposed the economic decay despite CCP efforts to suppress such information as a national security threat, underscoring China's precarious position in a fragile, interdependent global economy heavily reliant on Western exports. In closing, what Trump is doing seems to be the final nail in the coffin of an already failing economy. The question is, how will they retaliate next?
I don't know. COVID virus with a 20% kill rate this time. I mean, it's on the table. It's in that bioweapons lab. Fauci gave it to him, along with the technology to weaponize it. He should be in prison. I don't know what they'll do. The only thing they got going for him, though, is the Democrats and Rand Paul. They got that, pretending that what they're doing is capitalism. It's not. And you know what else they got going for him? Wall Street. Deliberately trying to crash the markets. Wall Street's fake panic over Trump's tariffs was actually a stage manipulation to spook everyday investors. And this clip, I can't play this enough. I'm playing it every hour. I did my podcast on it yesterday. How fake this is. Listen, this is yesterday. Scott Bessent on the Vanguard numbers. This is better than any poll. How many Americans trust Trump on these tariffs long term? Answer is 97%.
the Vanguard
of investors,
one of the largest money management firms in America, said that over the past 100 days, 97% of Americans haven't done a trade. And in fact, individual investors have held tight while institutional investors have panicked. So individual investors trust investors trust President Trump.
Megan.
That's incredible. To withstand that hysteria, the yelling, the screaming. And you know what they were doing? All these big institutional corporate hedge fund, they were sending all their guys on CNBC, Fox Business, you know, all the places, Squawk Box, blah, blah, blah. The end is coming. The end is nigh. Oh, no. If we can't get cheap lead-lined fake eyelashes from China, the world will end. New York Times doing it this morning. Oh, sorry. It's yesterday morning. There will not be toys under the tree. Who cares? No one plays with toys anyway. They all want, kids just want your credit card for another video game online so they can play with their friends from school. Folks, you know, I swear, before China entered the World Trade Organization, as I recall, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, were there Christmas gifts under the tree? I think there were. I remember Cabbage Patch Kids and such. I don't know, maybe there weren't. Think there will be again? You betcha. It was one of the most significant stories of the last week. Makes you ask a lot of questions. UK Daily Mail, piggybacking off Telegraph, making the stories, two big main dailies of the UK, admitting something the media only laughed at until then. The idea that you could spray the clouds, spray the atmosphere, and control the weather. Can't do that. Stupid conspiracy theory, online conspiracy theory. What? Wait a minute. The UK's going to spray the clouds to control the temperature? Well, wait. I thought you would not. I thought you couldn't do that. That was a conspiracy theory. Well, that's nuts. So you can? You can't? Oh, yeah, no, you can. What? And folks, it was done so brilliantly. The people didn't even catch what happened. The UK comes out, yes, you know, we're going to be doing experiments with this, spraying the clouds. We're going to reflect the sunlight back out of the atmosphere to combat global warming that is not happening. Sounds risky. Yeah, it is. But do you see what they did there? Two steps. Boom. Wait. That means y'all are admitting that was not a conspiracy. The government is doing that, and they're going to do it. That means they can do that. Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It does mean that. And the way they did it was, bro, they skipped that part. Oh, yeah, no, we've always known. What? Hold on. Now RFK says it's happening here. And that the Trump administration aims to stop it, because the chemicals that are being sprayed are incredibly dangerous and detrimental to health once they fall to Earth. Plus, the idea of even doing this, there's left-wing climate scientists who believe in global warming and the Easter Bunny, I'm told. And believe in global warming and the Easter Bunny, but who say you spray these chemicals, this could be permanent damage, which is not good. RFK asked about chemtrails. Says his agency has triangulated it, and they think they know where it's coming from inside the U.S. government, and they intend to do something about it. By the way, Trump said this in February, that the stuff deliberately added by the government is making people sick.
My biggest concern is the stratospheric aerosol injections that are continuously peppered on us every day. Bromium, aluminum, strontium, it's sprayed in our skies all day long. And I know you've talked to Dane Wigington about this. He seems to be one of the experts in the field.
Is there a question?
Yes. How do we stop it?
It's not happening in my agency. You know, we don't do that. It's done, we think, by DARPA. And a lot of it now is coming out of the jet fuel.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, those materials are put in jet fuel. We I'm going to do everything in my power to stop it. We're bringing on somebody who's going to think only about that, find out who's doing it, and holding them accountable.
Yes, sir.
RFK, Health and Human Services. Yet another conspiracy theory. You were told you were nuts if you believed, except now it's real. Now it's true, and it's happening. Don't believe me? Take it up with the Telegraph and RFK and Trump. I mean, but government can alter the weather. I mean, yeah, okay, they've kind of admitted it, but, you know, this whole idea that CIA was out there, you know, altering the weather, exploring altering the weather through DARPA, maybe funding it. I mean, the CIA director would never. Here's John Brennan, 2016, June, at the Council on Foreign Affairs. I'll let him explain.
The technology's potential to alter weather patterns and benefit certain regions of the world at the expense of other regions could trigger sharp opposition by some nations. Others might seize on SAI's benefits and back away from their commitment to carbon dioxide reductions. And as with other breakthrough technologies, global norms and standards are lacking to guide the deployment and implementation of SAI and other geoengineering initiatives. Now, I could go on and on and on and on about the things that fascinate me, but rather than talk about them, I thought I'd stop here.
Yeah, that was CIA director admitting they could change the weather by seeding clouds. 2016, John Brennan. So DARPA's doing. That's good to know. Let's triangulate that and stop it. Here's the rest of that John Brennan speech admitting that you can do this and the cost of the program to do it.
Another example is the array of technologies, often referred to collectively as geoengineering, that potentially could help reverse the warming effects of global climate change. One that has gained my personal attention is stratospheric aerosol injection, or SAI, a method of seeding the stratosphere with particles that can help reflect the sun's heat in much the same way that volcanic eruptions do. An SAI program could limit global temperature increases, reducing some risks associated with higher temperatures and providing the world economy additional time to transition from fossil fuels. This process is also relatively inexpensive.
Okay, you got it. They have it. They can do it. It's a $10 billion program. Right now, they're running it out of DARPA, RFK says. Wow. Fantastic. You know what I always wondered about? I just wonder. Helene, you ever seen a hurricane hit in the mountains right before an election? I'm really familiar with the political terrain of North Carolina because I've run statewide election campaigns there. Do you know what the most critical precincts, the most pro-Trump precincts are? Right there along that ridge, western North Carolina. The one that got decimated. Right outside of Buncombe, Avery, Allegheny, Alexander. Damn if it didn't bowl right through there. You ever heard of a hurricane hitting like that in the mountains? Now, here's what's weird. Nobody talked about it. That's probably just a coincidence, I'm sure. But did you notice the track it took through the panhandle, then veering to the west through Georgia? See, nobody else talked about this. North Carolina got all the attention. My daughter and I hike in Georgia, North Georgia. I'm very familiar with it, with the area. You know, North Georgia was decimated. You know where the most pro-Trump precincts are in North Georgia? They're in that north and northeastern corridor of Georgia. And damn if the thing didn't go over the panhandle, veer to the west to hit that, and then veer back out to the northeast across the most critical precincts in North Carolina. Folks, the two most critical swing states. If Trump didn't win them both, he was done. He'd lost Georgia last time. Or maybe it's coincidence. Probably coincidence. Fortuitous one, though. Almost looked like God was trying to help the Democrats. Man, if I could spin that thing through, that's exactly the precincts I'd have put it through. But that's just me. Texture writes, hey, Tara, what is DARPA? DARPA is Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. It's an independent research and development agency within the United States Department of Defense. They had a very close relationship with Hunter Biden. when he was going back and forth with them on that government email that he had about setting up the bioweapons labs in Ukraine. That's who DARPA is. Ultimately, they were able to get that deal done in Ukraine, which was super excited, but kind of pissed the Russians off and they invaded to save themselves. But I mean, other than that, no, it worked out great. By the way, someday they're going to admit all that too. It's coming just like this. Scott Bessent yesterday proposing something that makes so much sense. Congress would never do it because Congress never does anything that makes sense. We've documented this over the years. They will always do the worst thing for America first till they get called out for it. And then they'll move off that policy, the second worst thing for America. But what if we actually wanted to win, to create jobs, to see Main Street boom? What would we do? Something like this, proposed by Scott Bessent yesterday.
One of the most powerful parts of President Trump's 2017 tax bill was full expensing of equipment. We are going to make that, as President Trump said in his speech to Congress, that will be retroactive to January 20th. The other thing that we are looking to add is full expensing for factories. So bring your factory back. You can fully expense the equipment and the building. We will couple that with deregulation, cheap energy, and regulatory certainty, and that will continue to make the U.S. the greatest destination for domestic and foreign business.
Yeah, it would. We could do a lot of stuff like that. We want to. That would make so much sense, which is why I don't think it'll ever happen in Congress. We got to help our Chinese friends first. And folks, if Trump loses this, it'll be because of the Democrat Party and the turncoats in the GOP in Congress. I was pleasantly surprised, by the way, John Thune. I got to give him credit because I beat him up. He is the leader of the Republicans in, in the Senate, and he's a majority leader. And like right now, I'm very frustrated with what he's doing with the big, beautiful bill. But he did pull Republicans aside yesterday and give him a lecture. The Democrats are planning an anti-tariff vote, try to stop Trump and his tariffs. And he gave them a talking to about not joining the Democrats and sticking by Trump on this and the need to stick together or we will fail. I was shocked, about fell off my chair. But you know what? When they get it right, I'll let you know that too.